This episode of Well Met is brought to you in partnership with Lenovo Gaming and Intel. You can find out more about Lenovo Gaming on Twitch, Twitter, and Facebook at Lenovo Gaming or visit lenovogaming.com.
You're listening to Well Met.
Well Met.
A Hearthstone podcast brought to you by blizzbro.com.
Well Met.
Hey everybody, welcome to episode number 89 of Well Met Podcast. We are a Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzBro.com from Denver, Colorado. I am John Horstman. With me, of course, is the crew. First, in chilly Saskatoon, Canada, but not as chilly as it is elsewhere here in the United States, it's Kevin Hovdestad. Hey, Kev.
Hey, John. Yeah, we actually, we're substantially warmer up here in places than you guys are down there, but worked out nice. It was nice, sunny winter weather for us today. We celebrated Christmas with my dad's family. It was a lot of fun. And now I'm looking forward, after getting out of that and surviving my cousins, to hanging out and chatting about some Hearthstone with you guys.
Awesome. It's going to be a good show. I'm really excited. We've got lots to cover, but before we do, let's jump over to Kansas City with our very own J.R. Cook. Hey, J.R.
Hey, John. Hey, Kevin. Yeah, it is cold here, guys. Like, I don't know how I'm going to get through the show. Like, my room has no heat. I have a space heater here, and I had to turn it off. Otherwise, you're all going to hear it throughout the show. And I'm already starting to feel my fingers go numb. So by the end of the show, I might just be here frozen, and you guys can just watch me freeze to death. It'll be fun.
Snotsicle. Just plain freeze mage.
We'll let John, like, take the camera away from you, and you can just do a little dance. John, leave the camera on him.
Oh, absolutely. I need a new follow gif on my stream, and I would love for it to dance be JR. Dancing JR. We should make it a Patreon perk. Get a dancing JR something. I don't know.
Emote.
Yeah, dancing wallpaper, something like that. I don't know. It'd be cool. Like,
no, what we should do. What we should do is what? Karaoke. Karaoke. Like, I'm a terrible singer.
Karaoke.
Like, everybody would love to hear that.
Did you know that karaoke actually means empty orchestra? Isn't that hauntingly beautiful? All right. Sorry. That's a quote. It's a quote. You guys.
Trivial Pursuit. Holy man.
Yeah. Learn something new every day.
Yeah. You know, that's what I'm here for. Teach you guys things. Well, let's do what we do every week. Before we start off the show, we talk about the big news going on in our lives, whether it's on the ladder or doing special streams, everything else in between. Let's, JR, what's going on with you this last week? How have you been doing on the ladder and elsewhere?
Well, as far as the ladder goes, I've gotten up to rank 5 right now. Nice. I'm going to probably not going to be able to play like this next week until after Christmas. We'll see. I have a really busy week coming up, but after Christmas it's like no work, and I've got all kinds of free time, so I'm going to see if I can go maybe hit legend that final week of the month. Been playing a lot of Reno Warlock, trying to learn that. I've gotten a lot better at it this last
that's
week.
Good.
So just kidding. Yeah, because I was getting frustrated as heck with that deck a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
But yeah, I got up to rank 5 with that. Starting to learn the matchup against like Pirate Warrior and Aggro Shaman a lot better, and even the mirror match, which is actually the most difficult part of that deck in my opinion.
Faux show
is a mirror. Yeah,
it's kind of interesting. I was looking. We're gonna talk about this later, but if you can find a deck that beats Shaman, Warlock, and Pirate Warrior, you're in luck. Because that's like, I think, just over 50% of all the decks. So,
right,
kind of insane.
Yeah, right now I feel like Reno Lock is kind of, I still feel like it's the best deck right now. If you learn to play it, it's by far the most difficult to play. But I feel like if you know how to play, it's the best deck to play.
Interesting.
So that's why I'm trying to learn it. But anyway, as far as like other things going, I just got my greeting cards sent out today. So if you contacted me and wanted one of those, you should be getting it in the mail here pretty soon. Another thing is Extra Life charity that I was doing. That you can go to extralife.blizzpro.com if you want to donate. We had another $50 total in donations this week from well-met listeners, from you guys. So that puts me at 650. And I believe if we hit 750 by Christmas, then I will do a post-Christmas live stream. And so if we can hit that extra $100 in the next week, I'll definitely get a post-Christmas live stream going. Awesome. Maybe if we hit 1,000, maybe I'll do that karaoke or dance or whatever.
Oh, JR dance. Come on.
Yes, yeah, JR dance. We'll do it. If we hit 1,000, we'll do a JR dance or something.
A JR dance off with himself.
Right. Because you'd love to watch that. Right.
Yep, I would. I would. Yeah. I would like to watch that. Well, that's cool, man.
I would love to do it.
That's really cool. Kev, what's going on with you, man?
Oh, man. Okay. Well, for starters, I know the bumper was in the start of the show, but I think we should just do a special call out because it's the first week after we got to announce it. BlizzPro as a network sponsored by Lenovo Gaming, which was something I was working on for a really long time, and I'm really, really glad to see finally come to fruition. So yeah, it's super cool.
We've been working on that forever.
Oh, yeah. It's been months of back end, especially. Just a lot of work, But the whole network sponsored, helping out with all the shows, equipment for us to produce everything with. So we're massively thankful to those guys. And I think it means great things, hopefully, for BlizzPro going forward. So big ups to them and to Intel, obviously. And then for myself, I have been actually playing a fair bit of Hearthstone. We got a group of friends that got together and I talked about this, I think last week. We put together that little team tournament where we're playing in teams of three, kind of TESPA style. And it has been so much fun, like sitting and playing with your team and working through all the matchups with all the decks. We have to play all 9 classes in every best of three across the team. And each of those game matchups is itself a conquest best of 5. So we sit as a team of three for like 3 hours and work through all of the logistics of all of these decks. Crazy fun. My team is leading the entire tournament right now. We have a 2-0 match record, and I think we're overall we have the most game wins as well. Nice. So it's looking really good on paper at least. But just a lot of fun. I've been most of my laddering has actually been testing decks for that. So I made it to rank 5 playing Dragon Warrior and then kind of bounced around testing Druid decks. Druid, honestly, just not good right now. We're going to talk about this later, but Druid,
too slow.
Like the meta stuff. Well, the Jade Druid in particular is like, it's way overplayed. It's super bad. It's losing against all the popular meta decks, but it's the like second most played deck in the game right now. And I think that's a huge mistake. So...
Yeah, we actually got an email that we're going to talk about later about somebody who's struggling a little bit with Jade Druid and kind of asking us ways to, you know, better up their matchups and things. Well, Kevin just gave you his answer. Don't play it. Just kidding.
Well, there's definitely, we'll talk tech and stuff, but yeah, I think there's definitely some cool stuff happening with the meta this week. And I know, like, we can be kind of hot and cold on how much fun the meta is or isn't. And we definitely had our negative things to say about like everyone playing Pirate Warrior right after Mean Streets hit. But I'm loving the current meta. There's so many cool decks and so much stuff that's super playable. And I'm actually really excited to get to that part of the show and start geeking out about meta stuff.
Let's do that. Let's jump into the news so that we can go ahead and actually, you know what? 'Tis the season, right? It is an incredible season. And you know what? I have a present for you guys. I'm going to play this instead because I don't have any Hearthstone Christmas music, but I got you guys a gift. It's going to be showing up in your mailboxes here on the 22nd, but I wanted to share it with you guys here on Well Met. A good friend of mine, Pirate Poots, had this made for us to remember this era of Wellmet. So we got this nice little, it's a little print. It's not huge, so it doesn't take up a bunch of space. But just a nice little well-met poster. You got JR sitting with his face hunter hat on. Kevin looks like he's about ready to correct someone and tell them they're not wrong. So that'll be there for you guys here in a moment, or in a few days. So Merry Christmas, happy holidays to you both. Love you guys.
Thanks, dude. That's awesome. I love it.
So pretty cool, right? Pretty cool little thing. And a big thanks to Pirate Poots, who was awesome to work with and bringing that little vision to life. So
now I want to know, like, I'm looking at that and I want to know how cool, like, a multiplayer Hearthstone would be, like, because that's like one-on-one, right? Like,
it is.
That would be awesome. That would be interesting to do. I don't think they would be able to do it, but that would be a pretty cool mode if they were able to do anything remotely like that.
You'll notice JR is clearly losing on this.
Oh, yeah.
On this table.
Yeah, because so I'm playing
board presence is not good.
And
it's not good.
He's just going face. That's the place. That's where he goes to win the race.
It looks like I'm beating up Kevin though.
Well,
but I'm
yeah.
still probably going to lose.
It's because Kevin's trying to run some hipster deck.
I was going to say, it looks like probably John's going to win. He's playing Shaman, whereas you and I are trying to make Paladin and Hunter work by the looks of things. So feels like John's maybe going to take this one.
That's right.
Yeah.
Got to play the good decks, boys. That's how you win. All right, let's go ahead and talk about the news.
This week in Overwatch.
Wrong soundboard. Wrong soundboard. Didn't change back.
This week in Hearthstone, Heroes of Warcraft.
Oh, dearie.
Good times.
Yep. I definitely shouldn't have switched to the other soundboard just to get the little Christmas music going. Anyways, before we get started, we do want to thank our friends of the show, Albert T, The Real Ben, and Coral. Thank you so much. If you like the show, want to support us through the holiday season, help us make these awesome new sounders and make our show sound great, head on over to patreon.com/wellmetpodcast and take a look at some of the tiers there. Sign up. We'd love to have you. We're hanging out in our Facebook group every week. And yeah, should be a really good time. So cool. All right, let's talk about this week in Hearthstone. First and foremost, so you think you can cast 2017 has been announced. No bias on this show here about the so you think you can cast competition, but it looks like a pretty cool one. Kevin, what's going on with this year?
This is actually awesome. So yeah, like you said, no bias, but the program last year was designed to help identify additional casters for the Hearthstone Championship Tour and brought out some of the people who are now big names on the scene, obviously people like Soddle and Raven, along with people who got to do a few smaller events like Cora and myself. Turned out really great. It was a phenomenal program and I think really did a lot to help identify people who were good on the desk for Hearthstone and for HCT. This year, it's actually for the last casting I did, which is the TESPA circuit. So the Hearthstone Collegiate National Championship for the TESPA competitive series is coming up. And for 2017, rather than have you as an individual try to do coverage of a game by yourself and submit a demo using that, they're looking for duos. So two people together who have got some practice and some rapport go through, they cast one quick game and submit a little demo video, or demo audio is actually all that's required. And you submit that for your chance to be part of the casting talent for the TESPA competitive series. And I think this is great. There's a fairly decent amount of time left. This has just been announced. So you've actually got until January 13th to get together your audio submission for this. Oh, you know what? I lied. I am a straight up liar. They actually want it on YouTube this year. So you are going to have to record it as a video. You don't have to do your own video. Like, you can just resubmit their video with your own audio behind it, but you do have to upload it as a video. So
that wasn't the case last year.
I think you were allowed to share it on YouTube, but there was an alternate submission method, if I remember correctly. I could be wrong.
I can't remember. Everyone I knew submitted it on YouTube. So,
because everybody was trying to promote them on YouTube and get people looking at them and talking about them and stuff. But yeah, so you have to put it on YouTube. tweeted out at Play Hearthstone using the hashtag HSCast2017. You've got until January 13th. And the only other rule is members of the HCT casting team from 2016 are not eligible to participate. So anybody who did last year's program, or was hired by Blizzard as part of the HCT crew last year is ineligible as part of the duo, right? So what they don't want is they don't want an amateur to call up Brian Kibler and say, yo, help me win this contest, because it's going to be very difficult not to choose Brian Kibler and Natalie Kibler, because that would be hilarious and awesome, right? So if Natalie Kibler wants to get in and do this, she's got to find somebody else to do her demo reel with.
Interestingly to note, though, is you can help multiple people with a video. You can only have one submission, so you have to go, Blizzard, this is my submission, but I can do one with JR, I can do one with Ray or whatever, and just be like, take the one from JR, and that's the one I tweet at them to submit. So if you have friends and they're like, oh no, I already have a partner and I'm not, like, you can still help them. You can still do the thing. And if you think that was your best submission, that's the one that you can submit to. Or, you know, try next time with somebody who's better than that first partner.
So when they choose this, they're just choosing, like, you know, this one person, and it's not necessarily the duo of them.
They said to have both emails in the
submission. So they might decide.
I wouldn't be surprised if they're trying to find duos, but they maybe reach out to individuals and say, your stuff is really good, we'd love for you to come down and get involved. Because that was, I think, kind of how, I mean, the vision definitely was always that they were looking for kind of the best individual talent. And I think they're just trying to solve how awkward it was trying to solo cast last year, because it's very difficult. And that's not a real world situation. You're never going to be on a desk by yourself for anything in Hearthstone casting. So this will feel way more organic, way more legit. And if you don't have somebody lined up that you want to do this with, there's actually a really great thread going over on the official Hearthstone forums where you can go find a partner and they look for other people who are trying to submit but don't have somebody lined up. There's already a few posts over there from the last day or so, people saying, you know, I've hit legend, I've done commentating on speedruns, yada, yada. So there's lots of people who are in there looking for existing partnerships because they don't have somebody already picked out. So don't feel like needing a second voice is the barrier to your entry, because there's going to be lots of people trying to do this. And it's not very hard to record some audio and slap it on the video of the game. It's actually, I think it's pretty easy.
And honestly, last year, if Kevin can do it, you can do it. Listener.
Ooh.
But in all seriousness, if you're wondering about the tech stuff, any one of us would be happy to answer questions.
Yeah,
send us an email.
Totally reach out.
wellmet@blizzpro.com. I'm going to say that's the official one. I can't promise tweets and stuff. But if you send us an email, hey, how do I do this? What's the best way to do this? This is my equipment. We'd be happy to give you a hand, because we would hate for technology to get in your way of being the next Kevin Hovdestad. Duh. All right, let's talk about
I have no time for your games.
That was my guac.
So Hearthstone came out with a new TV spot, a little commercial, and it was something else, man. It was definitely something. So the idea behind this commercial is there's a guy eating chips and guac, and a guy walks up and just, like, starts eating his stuff and goes, hey man, that's my guac. He goes, I didn't see your name on it. And he's like, yeah, it's right here, Paul. And then they're like, oh, you want to take this inside? And then they start dueling in Hearthstone and dressing up in ridiculous things and saying things like,
I have no time for your games.
That was my guac.
And yeah, just, it's pretty ridiculous. It's not going to win any awards, but what good things do we have to say about this little advertisement?
Well, I know I was not in the target audience for this particular ad, but I will say that I do find it hilarious on like the Hearthstone subreddit. They keep talking about it. They keep, you know, they're making fun of it, but they keep quoting it and things like that. The ad did what it needed to do, and it was to get people talking about either the game or the commercial. It was a memorable commercial, even though it was very goofy and just bad, in my opinion. But honestly, the target audience wasn't us. It wasn't the people already playing, but it was to get people to talking about the game in a way. And I think it did that very successfully, because I know Whitney, who's over on West March Workshop, our Diablo podcast, was talking about it. And he said he went to a Warhammer event, and everybody there was talking about the commercial and going, maybe I should get into Hearthstone. It looks kind of fun. So it's doing what it needed to do.
It's what a Nerf bow and arrow will do to you, man. You just like, I need to play that game. I love Nerf bow and arrow. You know?
So, I mean, it has us talking about it. It has other people talking about it. It's doing exactly what it needed to do, no matter how dumb and silly the commercial actually was.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Kev, what did you think as our resident marketing expert?
Well, okay. So, it's difficult because I think JR is right. This is not being targeted at existing players in any way. Unfortunately, one of the things you have to remember with all marketing, even if it isn't targeted at your existing user base, is that there's brand affiliations, right? Like, I as a consumer like being seen as drinking Coke products or supporting Coke because I really love seeing their ads and the things they do, and I have positive memories of the branding that Coke has done, right? I to this day now, and it's like 6 years later, I can still recite a Coke commercial from when Canada won the Olympic gold medal in whatever year that was, wherever that was. I don't remember, but it's like, it's super memorable and it's a very positive memory, right? Most of what I've seen for commentary on this, and kind of how I felt myself, was like, I really hope that no one I know sees this and thinks about Hearthstone and then goes, hey, don't you play that game? Because I don't want to be affiliated with it. Like, I think it's a negative thing for someone who's never played the game to see that and have that be their first perception of the people who play the game or the brand or the vision for what the game is trying to accomplish. I think there's definitely... there's value, like JR says, in the fact that it is very memorable, and I think it's doing a good job of, like, reaching people who just have no idea what Hearthstone is or why they should care. But I definitely think this one was a swing and a miss. I think they were going for that like fun, kitschy vibe, and they just overshot. And comparatively speaking, right, if you look back at the ones where it's like the guy is playing on the bus or whatever and dragging the ogre back and forth, and then Tinkmaster Overspark comes running out, stuff like that, those ones in retrospect, I remember at the time being like, this is kind of weird. But then you watch them now and you're like, no, actually, that's kind of cute. It's kind of funny. Like, they don't have the lengthy negative implications that I feel like this one does, where for the foreseeable future, I'm going to look back at this one and go, yeah, I don't want anyone to see that. Like, if that's on TV and someone goes, hey, don't you play that game? I'm going to be like, no idea what you're talking about, man. Like, it's, I don't know how else to feel. I didn't like it. I don't know that it's not working from a marketing perspective. Like JR said, there's definitely memorable things about it, and it's clearly having some desired effect. If it was a bad thing, they wouldn't have made it. It never would have made it out of testing. It may not see a very long or lengthy run, is about all I'm prepared to say.
Yeah, I mean, keep in mind that even though I said it's working, like I said on Twitter, like, whoever did that ad should probably be fired. So, because it just wasn't an ad that, I'm with Kevin on that. It's just not an ad that I want to be, you know, related to in any way.
But it was great for the budget, though. All right, we need some chips and guac from Qdoba, a Nerf bow and arrow, and some green face paint, and whatever
and
we can find around the office. We should be good. Great, $200. Done. Plus, we just talked about it for 15 minutes on the show, so, you know, has to be doing something. All right. Let's keep on moving here, and let's jump into the pro corner.
The Pro Corner.
Yes. So we did have a fairly large tournament going on this week. Seat Story Cup 6 was live, just finished up this afternoon. For the listeners who aren't super familiar with Seat Story Cup, it is definitely one of the more unique tournaments that we see out of Hearthstone every year. Basically, Seat Story Cup, what they do is it started in a house and then it kind of moved. And I think they did one in, was it Dracula's Castle? They did one in and a couple other places. And basically what they do is it's a weekend long tournament. It usually spans 2 to 3 days, but they also have a lot of fun things going on in between. Strifecrow and Hafu had their own cooking show. They did a Secret Santa segment. There was just a lot of that stuff. Players will hop on the casting couch, so you're hearing from all the different players throughout the weekend. It's really cool. And they're all just eating and drinking, having a good time. There's a poker table, and it's just a really casual tournament. But it also brings in some of the biggest viewership. It brings in all of the biggest names. If you take a look at who is invited to this, I'm just going to go down the first column. Zixo, RDU, Orange, Lifekosh, Hafu. We've got Eloise, Lothar, Ostkaka, Dog, Jackie Chan, Forsen, Savitz, Rainad, Sho, Firebat, Zalay, Wife Coach. Life Coach's wife. In case you didn't catch that there. And that's about half of the names. So this, literally every large name in Hearthstone is there playing, casting, or hanging out at the event. So they're always a good, fun bit to watch. Congratulations to Orange for winning. That's a big deal. So what we saw, that's way too long, guys. Way too long. Anyways, so Orange went ahead and won, and we haven't seen, if I remember correctly, any major wins from Orange since he moved over to Alliance. But he's always been a phenomenal player and close friend of the show. I know he listens from time to time. So if he is, congrats, Orange. Way to go. I was cheering for you the whole way, even though most of your games were on the B stream. But overall, looking at some of these groups and some of these deck lists, what were your guys' big takeaways from this weekend?
I mean, I would say that the biggest thing for me was, like, I didn't get a chance to watch the initial group stages. I didn't have that time at all this week. But looking back on the outcomes, it's really surprising to me looking at some of the early eliminations. Obviously, no shock that, you know, like Savitz and Orange and, you know, Zalay made it through. But you look at in the first group stage, you had Strifecrow, Pavel, Firebat, Eloise, Dog, Lothar, all knocked out, like, and decisively knocked out, right?
Ostkaka, too. Yeah, 3-6.
Yeah, RDO goes 0-2. Dog goes 0-2. Like, there were some major eliminations. And then in the second round, again, big knockouts where the people who made it through, I think, were the surprises in almost all of the groups. And I mean, not all of them, obviously. Like, it's no shock to see Savitz make it through in Group A, in Group Stage 2. But to see Ekop knocking off Jackie Chan and Sansifka, to see Camlan, who I've talked to him at some length, super nice guy, very chill, very, very smart player, like probably one of the smartest people playing Hearthstone because he's got like a doctorate in math. He dude's too smart for his own good. But he gets over Life Coach and Rainad, right, in Group C. Zixo, again, knocked out, hasn't made it any, like, I don't think he's gone deep in a tournament in quite a while because he lost to the group where Sho and Orange advanced, right? And they ended up being the finalists, respectively. Yeah. I honestly, like, the biggest story here for me was how far ECOP went, right? ECOP came over from playing poker, really not super successful as a Hearthstone player other than as a streamer up till fairly recently.
Wasn't like, he plays well. Multi-world champion in WoW TCG?
Yes. Yeah, he was.
Yeah, so he's but he hadn't had there. Yeah.
Any results in Hearthstone to date, right? And then goes very deep here. Like, he went to 7 games in the semifinals with Sho, and it was a super back and forth, very tense series. That was a good one to watch. But yeah, I mean, all of the games were really close. The meta was really interesting. These best of sevens meant people had to have a lot of deck lists. There was a lot of depth. I mean, you saw a lot of what you expected. You saw a lot of Shaman. You saw a lot of Warrior. But I mean, I think it was a good tournament in the sense that it's the first time we've seen a lot of the big name pros clash since Mean Streets.
Yeah, it was a great initiation into the new meta. I know a lot of people are asking, what are the best decks and what are people going to be bringing to these tournaments? We got our answer. Lots of Shaman. lots of Shaman. Lots of Arena Lock. Saw lots of Arena Lock. We saw quite a bit of Hunter now, or not Hunter, Hunter.
Hunter, that's a good joke. Yeah, well done.
Hunter, good joke. Warrior. So Warrior, we saw mixed variants. We saw Pirates. We saw
Dragons.
We saw, I think, one or two Control Warriors, I believe.
Yeah, not doing real well, mm-hmm. but people have tried.
Yep. So we saw a little bit of that, and then we saw a mixed bag of a few other things. Saw some Priest, good amount of Dragon.
How about Rogue?
Priest.
Was Rogue pretty well represented?
Yeah, saw some good amount of Rogue as well. Basically, we didn't see a lot of Paladin. We didn't see Hunter.
Hunter. I would straight up say that the deck that was among the most decisive, like, yes, obviously, you know, Aggro Shaman, massive impact on what people brought overall, the variants of Warrior, big impact on the tournament meta. But Miracle Rogue, for sure, is the decisive deck right now for a lot of tournament play because it's so good against the current tournament meta. And people who play it well, obviously, can do miraculous things with it. It's a pretty unbelievable deck played at that level.
Yeah, I was wondering about that because you know, John and I are playing in a Hearthstone league here pretty soon, and I was trying to decide like what decks I wanted to, and the first four that pop in my head every time, this might change obviously, was Shaman, Warrior, Rogue, and Warlock.
And like, I think that is changing honestly already. We're going to talk about that in a little bit here, but tournament is still very different from ladder. And I think that's what people forget is like, you can go way more targeted in your tech. And there's, you know, people who are going into the games with lineups that really aggressively assert like weapon removal. And then there are people who are saying, I know everyone's running weapon removal and they're going exactly the other direction, right? They're coming into it with Shaman lists that are starting to cut copies of Spirit Claws. They're coming into it with,
cutting seven sevens. I believe Camlin cut his seven sevens and his lava bursts for a little bit more board presence so that you don't get wrecked
crazy,
by Reno,
right?
You know, because that burn at the end.
People are like, you're definitely seeing the result of a lot of testing, and it's the place where the most tech actually occurs, because on ladder, a lot of things, unfortunately, are about like, You need things that work with more breadth and less depth. You need more consistency across a larger set of games. In tournaments, it's like, I got to win one game with this deck. And you can go very specifically, like, how do I mean, a big part of
why. Especially with a ban, right? Like, a lot of people go in and they're like, I'm banning Reno Warlock right away. Because that's, like, the one deck that's drastically different than, like, Aggro Shaman and Aggro Warrior. Like, if you know that they have that, you're not going to ban one because you're basically going to see another version of it anyway. You know, so there's a lot. Interestingly, I cannot say the word today. Sho brought Tempo Mage, and he made it to the grand finals against Orange, and he brought a Tempo Mage deck. And I've heard a few people say that Tempo Mage might be fairly good in this meta. So
it's coming in a big way. I know someone just recently hit number one legend, and I don't remember if it was EU or US, with a Tempo Mage deck.
Yep.
Well, Mage as a whole is doing a lot right now. And I mean, again, we're going to talk about this right away. But I think a big part of the problem right now is people are looking to the data sources and the popular deck lists, and everybody's publishing stuff about Jade Druid, Aggro Shaman, Pirate Warrior, you know, to a lesser degree, Reno Lock. Those are the decks everybody's talking about. No one's sitting there going, man, what about if I ran Tempo Mage? Like, Tempo Mage used to be super good against XYZ things. The data right now isn't there. No one's like, I'm going to look at the meta report and see how Tempo Mage does. It's just not there. Like, the data isn't there. So no one really knows.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. And if you, that's,
and it didn't get a lot of great cards, right? Like, it hasn't changed much. So you're 1 month into an expansion and you're already back to the Tempo Mage that you're playing 2 months ago. You're like, is that really? I want to spend my December in the mean streets of Gadgets and playing the same Tempo Mage deck I was before. If you want to win, you might.
I'll tell that to every Shaman player. Tell that to anyway.
Hey man,
that's all meta stuff, and we're gonna
stick patches. There. It's different. I got patches now. So, and Jade Claws. Don't forget Jade Claws, patches, and Jade Claws, man. And Jade Lightning. That's three new cards that I got. That's six. That's
small time Buccaneer.
That's
one. So you can bring out. So you can bring out patches.
Yeah, that's seven. Kev. It's a whole different ball game when it comes to Aggro Shaman now.
Almost 33%
play. Totally different style of play.
Not even the same deck anymore, you know? Just
take
kidding.
Take me to the meta, sir. Take
all
me
right,
to the meta.
All right, let's go to the meta.
Beat him or join him.
Ah, oh, no.
All right, Kev, lead us into this.
All right, so... before we get into meta stuff super heavily, I do want to caveat this because we're going to talk a lot about meta and how things are going in the game right now. A lot of people right now on Reddit and on, you know, your favorite deck submission sites, they're looking heavily at stuff like the Vicious Syndicate Data Reaper report. We're going to talk about Data Reaper number 29 from just a couple days ago here, December 15th, on today's show. There's a lot of information we don't have because a lot of people aren't submitting their tracker data, right? So we just finished saying Tempo Mage, no one really knows. There's a lot of decks that look super bad on the Data Reaper report because there's either not enough information, or in a lot of cases because the Data Reaper report skews very heavily towards, I would say, fairly average players, right? Guys who are doing most of their games in that rank 10-esque area. So there's definitely a gap where the harder decks to play, the decks that require more finesse, more decision making, are not well represented in these reports. So they always look like they skew towards aggro decks. It always looks like, you know, aggro shaman, pirate warrior, stuff like that look super good on paper. And it's partially because of the level of play required to pilot them. So having said all of that, Data Reap report number 29 is out, guys. You've seen the information in terms of which classes are popular. I don't think there's any real surprises here. Top class by an enormous margin, still pirate warrior and warrior in general across all ranks. But as you move up in the ranks, shaman takes over in an authoritative fashion. And then warlock decisively in third, pretty much all the way down, followed by... as you get to legend, there's a huge shift towards Miracle Rogue, but then Druid, a little bit of Priest, and Mage, Paladin, Hunter kind of fighting for last. So anything in there that you were caught off guard by in terms of what's being played?
Not really caught off guard, because I keep the live tracker up almost all the time, and I'm always kind of checking it back and forth. But I think one of the big surprises, especially considering its win rates, is why am I not seeing more Dragon Priest and Dragon Warrior? I see a lot of Aggro Warrior. Right now I've seen more Reno Priest than I have seen Dragon Priest, which is a way harder deck to pilot and not nearly as good in as many different matchups, except obviously it does, as do most Reno decks, do at least 50-50 against Aggro Shaman, which is about 1/5 of the ladder, basically, I believe, 10 and above. So, yeah, that was a little bit surprising to me.
Well, so I played Dragon Warrior to rank 5. That was the deck I did my ladder grinding with to go up. And I will say flat out, like, it's as good as it ever was. There's not much in there for new cards. There's a couple of pirate cards in there. But realistically, you're very much playing the Dragon shell. You're getting most of your value out of Alexstrasza's Champion and Draconid Crusher and just playing lots of charge minions. You win most of your games on, like, turn 6, turn 7. But you also have, you know, Curator as a refill mechanic, and there's lots of stuff about the deck that's really, really good. Plus, you just flat out win against Dragon Priest because all of their removal is predicated around clearing non-dragon minions off the board, right? Even if they're playing like Holy Nova, no one's playing Excavated Evil, so you slam down your own Twilight Guardian, and unless they've, like, the Reno versions just get screwed by not having sufficient copies of Shadowward Pain, Shadowward Death.
Yep.
And the non-Reno versions, you just get to overwhelm them over time because you're the one who's out in front dictating trade paces, and you've got weapons to trade your health for minion health, and it's just like you're in the driver's seat the whole game. So the only thing I ever had trouble with was Jade Shaman, because Jade Shaman just does so much damage and will eventually outvalue you on the board, also run you out of cards faster because you're emptying your hand. Unless you have Curator by turn 7, you're emptying your hand by about turn 8.
Any of those snowball decks, are you running a copy of Brawl in yours?
I wasn't, but it was because I was using it as a tournament deck. So I was basically not playing around needing to win games where Brawl would get me back in. For ladder, I probably would tech a single Brawl.
Hmm. Okay. What do you think, JR?
I think Dragon Warrior right now is on an uptick. Like, I think one of the reasons why you're not seeing it represented as high is because I think in the last few days, maybe even within the last week, you're starting to see it a lot more now, and people are starting to see that they're getting just as successful or even more successful win rates than they were with Pirate Warrior. And it's just it feels like a more solid deck because it feels like you're not just going to hit, like, you're just not going to hit those decks where you just putter out if you're playing aggro, where you know, it's just like, well, I'm not going to win now because they just put up a huge taunt guy and I'm not going to be able to hit face. Whereas Dragon Warrior still has, like, you're putting the pressure on early, but you can also sustain and kind of go into the long game if you need to. And I think that's why you're getting, that's why you're starting to see it more and more, is I think people are starting to realize that.
Yeah. I mean,
I'm surprised. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, Reno Mage basically targets Aggro Shaman, Pirate Warrior, and Reno Warlock, which are, I believe, 1, 2, and 3 in deck popularity. I think at all levels except Legend, I think Rogue might be in that top 3 somewhere. So
yeah, Rogue actually is 2nd right now at the Legend rank, according to this data, which is what we're working from. Right. But you're right, like, basically, Aggro Shaman is sort of the decisive factor on ladder, and everything else is being played in terms of, can I beat Aggro Shaman, which is where you see Reno decks and Dragon Warrior come through, right? That's why they're popular, is because they turn around and they beat Aggro Shaman. And then everything else from there is just kind of the rock, paper, scissors circle back to Aggro Shaman. But it's interesting because if you look at the win rates and what's succeeding on ladder, there's decks that are just massively overrepresented, right? So Reno Mage is an interesting case because Reno Mage is one of the least played decks. It's not even top 10 in terms of frequency, according to this information, but it's got the 2nd highest win rate. It's super good, and a ton of people have hit like top 100 Legend in the last couple of days using Reno Mage. It's a very powerful deck. Dragon Warrior, similarly, is not being played very much, but one of the only decks that's actually basically good on ladder right now. And I think I think I made it to rank 5 with it as quickly as I did because it was a total sleeper hit. Like, no one was playing it. And all of a sudden you cruise through all the Aggro Shaman, you cruise through all the Dragon Priest, because there's a lot of Priest in that, like, rank 10 area. You see more Priest than just about anything in those ranks, and just flatten all of them because they can't take your minions away from you. Interesting.
You're also like a warrior player, right? Wasn't that like your first?
It was my first gold class. It's my most played class.
You love control warrior.
Yeah.
Like, for me, like, yeah. Shaman, I zipped up to rank 5 in like 50 games. I just zipped right up. And then now I'm spending more time playing around with different decks and trying different things out. But like, it is important to like distinguish the fact that like, if you're not that good, Ray, I was talking with Ray on his stream at the last night or two nights ago. And he was I was talking a little bit about, man, I really stink against Reno Mage as aggro shaman. And I'm seeing a lot of it. Not Reno Mage, Reno Warlock as aggro shaman. And it looks like it should be like a 50-50 matchup. And he's like, honestly, dude, you should be winning that matchup 70% of the time. Like, this is data that is by fallible players, and a player playing aggro shaman at rank 5 isn't going to play aggro shaman like a guy like Ray is at legend, where I was watching him and Immortal Lion pilot two different accounts, his account and then Immortal Lion's account, up to top 15 legend, just zip 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 with aggro shaman beating everything. And a lot of it has to do with, you know, the caliber of player that you are as well. And this is crowdsourced data. It means that somebody who's as awful at warrior like myself can contribute information just as much as someone who is awesome at warrior like Kevin.
Right. And so, I mean, that's why, like, the analysis that's being done out there right now, a lot of it basically says, like, there's decks that just kind of like sit outside of our rock, paper, scissors meta, like Miracle Rogue, where it just works when it works and doesn't when it doesn't. Miracle Rogue really isn't affected by the meta right now because there's not a lot of Miracle Rogue counters. There's people who are trying to look for ways to worry about it. But in terms of where it's being played, like, you're not going to see Miracle Rogue in any meaningful sense up until you hit Legend. It's a deck that's being played at Legend and in tournaments. It's not a grind your way up the ladder deck. So it really doesn't matter, right?
Unless you're already a Legend player, right?
Unless you've already hit Legend, exactly, right. So the ladder as a whole is basically being defined right now by, there's a really good post, we'll link it in the show notes, by the Power 5 decks, which are Reno Mage and Warlock, Dragon Priest, Aggro Shaman, and Pirate Warrior. And those five kind of dictate the tempo and pace of the whole ladder right now. As the aggro stuff swings to more popular, you'll see more Dragon Warrior and more Reno Priest because those decks blow the aggro decks away. If Reno becomes more prevalent, right, if people go that direction and they play more Reno Lock, more Reno Mage starts to take off because people see how well it's done, people start running Reno Priest, you'll see way more Druid because Druid gets around the removal suite that most of those decks run. And in particular, this is the one that caught me off guard. Malagos Druid is basically the deck best positioned to blow the meta wide open. And there's a few different versions of it sticking around. There's the Karazhan era version that still runs Arcane Giants. And you can actually tech in, I think a lot of people are teching in, of all things, Moonglade Portal. Or you can go to the more common current version, which runs Iviana and Kuhn. But either way, super scary deck because it's not great on ladder right now. But the more Reno you see, the more control decks you see, the better it gets. And it's a deck that's positioned to do super well. It's actually, so I was talking earlier about playing in this team tournament. I went through and redid all my deck lists, and I took Reno Priest, Dragon Warrior, and Malagos Druid. And it took me a couple games to get the win with the Dragon Warrior, and then I flattened with my other two decks, like just crushed. They were super decisive because those decks bust the meta wide open right now. They take advantage of all the deck lists that are being played and just like massively easy to exploit, whether it's, you know, the aggro decks that just can't get through you or the lack of consistency in the Reno decks. Malagos Druid just makes Reno decks look silly. It's unbelievable how good it is.
Yeah, it definitely, but again, we're going to talk about this, right? Druid, it really struggles against aggro right now, right? And so it has to, the meta has to shift away from aggro for that to happen, which you probably won't see in the beginning of the month, but you will probably see if you're up at Legend and other, you know, parts on the ladder like that where you're not seeing as much aggro.
I think part of the problem with Druid right now is there's just not a lot of people experimenting with it. You know, it seemed like Jade Druid felt really strong, and it can be. If the meta was a little bit slower, and I still think it could be a very powerful deck, and I think that like everybody just had that in their mind. Like that, we even talked about on the show when it first came, when Mean Streets was still coming out, is we wanted to play, Jade Druid, because that's, you know, that seemed like it would be a lot of fun putting out these really big dudes and everything. And so I think everybody's been in that mindset. I don't think a lot of people have really been experimenting with what Druid could end up being. I think that Druid still could very well be towards the top of the meta once someone does finally figure out like what can Druid do in this meta right now.
And I honestly, I mean, I think Druid is in this weird place where Jade Druid is a deck that's, for one, it's cheap. And I think we often forget to discuss that when we look at popular archetypes. Like, even to play Aggro Warrior, you had to get or craft patches. There's nothing, and I mean nothing, for really expensive cards in Jade Druid. Like, you can make Jade Druid with almost nothing in it. The only legendaries in Just Saiyan's Jade Druid list, the one he hit rank one legend right at the start of the season with, were Bran, which you have if you played League of Explorers. It's not one that you have to like craft or save up for. Fandral, which I mean honestly is not a mandatory card in that list by any stretch, and Aya, which a lot of people got because of the heavy skew towards the tri-class cards, right? So a lot of people saw Aya, sometimes even in duplicate, in their first few packs, right? The rest of that deck, almost all common cards. Like, I mean, look at the Jade cards themselves, right? Jade Idol, Jade Spirit, Jade Behemoth in Druid. They're all super cheap cards to run. So it's a very easy deck list to make your own version of. And I think that's a huge factor. So a lot of people ran it, and it's just not actually all that great. Like, it feels really good to, in theory, know that you'll never die to fatigue. But a lot of Druid players at that level don't know, like, how many copies of Jade Idol do I want in my deck, right? There's a really great analysis on the competitive Hearthstone subreddit right now that basically says you should never shuffle your first Jade Idol. You should always just play it. You should always play the first one and get that 1/1 on the board and get the buff cycle started. And it makes total sense. The analysis is totally correct, but it's something that a lot of people have missed.
Snowballing in Hearthstone, which is exactly what Jade Druid is designed to do, right? You're snowballing. You can't snowball if you're dead by turn 6, right? There's just not snowballing that can really happen there. And that's, I think, what's really getting those Jade deck lists to really kind of struggle. Even Jade Behemoth, which throws down a 3/6 taunt on top of whatever, you know, 3/3, 4/4, or 5/5 you're throwing out, still, you still got to be making trades and stuff, trying to be staying alive. And then you've got, you know, Jade Lightnings and Lava Bursts flying at your face. And you're like, well, it doesn't really matter that much. It reminds me a lot of the Thunderbluff Valiant, where in Shaman, we see that kind of come in, come out, come in, come out, because it's a snowball card, right? But if you don't have either board control or, you know, two totems already on board, you really can't snowball that into anything. And if anything, it's just a card to force other classes' removal, which is good. It's still a valuable thing, but it's just in a meta where, you know, again, what it's about, let's just say for consistency, we'll say like 18% aggro shaman and 18% aggro warrior, let's just say hypothetically, 36% of the time, you're going to see a class that is going to try to kill you as fast as possible and has the burns and means to do so. I've seen Druid's tech in Druid of the Claws to try to slow that down. I've seen, obviously, Jade Behemoth is a popular one, a second Ancient of War. And then you start losing all those tools that make your snowballing so well. And all of a sudden, well, I can stave off aggro, but barely, only like 50% of the time. And now I'm really hurting my other matchups, right?
Well, and Druid has always forever had two problems, right? One is that you throw away your early game for ramp and cycle, right? So you never have anything that trades well in the early game. Like, yeah, Living Roots on one feels good, but it's not helping you against small time Buccaneer pulling out patches and then someone equipping a weapon. You maybe get to hit your ramp cards. You hit a wild growth, you hit a jade blossom, but it takes a long time to get to a point where you actually start contesting the board. And then what's the sum total of the removal that you run in Jade Druid, right? You run Wrath, which doesn't help you against even like a Totem Golem. You run Swipe, which is very expensive for what it does against all but like maybe Zoo decks, which you also lose to. And if you have to play Feral Rage for the attack instead of the armor, you're losing. You are losing the game at the point that you're forced into that position almost every time, because that means that you're sitting there on turn three with nothing better to do than swing for four into your opponent's minion just to stay in the game. And there's a lot of cards, like I know, talking to people who have played a lot of Druid and a lot of Jade, they're saying Jade Spirit is a bad card. Like, if you need to run Jade Spirit, you have a problem in your Jade deck because it's not a good card. You should be just cutting it outright and replacing it with something better. In a lot of Jade Druid lists, that slot has gone back to Violet Teachers just because you get more board presence and you can do more with the bigger physical body on turn four if you have to tempo it out, and the sequencing and benefit with the cheap spells in the deck. Like, it's a super rough archetype to play. I played Malygos Druid and really felt good about it because I had more options, but Jade is taking that same archetype, right? The spell druid shell, because it's mostly spells, and replacing stuff that is okay with stuff that is worse. Like, you don't trade efficiently until you're on your like fourth or fifth Jade Golem, or you're up to like turn six or later. And right now there's a lot of decks that kill you by turn six, which is why everybody's running Reno. And I don't advise trying Reno Druid either. I maybe tried that for a game and regretted it.
Yeah. It's a great sample size, Kev.
Game of one. It's not good.
Something
you heard
that,
it here first.
Something that people always talk about too is, well, what about mulch and naturalize? And if you look at the aggro variants right now, the two things they don't run is AoE and card draw. And if you're giving them cards to remove their cards, you're not in that much better of a spot. Best case scenario, you use a mulch on a 7-7, which takes your whole turn. And in most cases, assuming they get it out there before turn five, obviously you can draw it later and play that way. Best case scenario, but you still give them a card and you still had to spend 3 mana to do it, which is cheap removal, but not when you're giving them another card. And I really should keep track of how many times this week the card that I got from mulch was one that ended up being like a difference maker. Great, I needed that big, I think I got a Ragnaros, maybe. I got something big.
That's the risk you take playing mulch, and I think it's still a good one of in like a tournament style deck, but in ladder decks in general, like if you have to tech in mulch, you probably should look at just not playing Druid. Yep. Sorry, that's the reality.
Yeah.
Last couple things we were going to talk about meta wise, I guess, were the cards that have been super meta defining up to this point. I wrote down a list, and my list was basically Small Time Buccaneer, the
slash
dragon stuff
patches,
that went in,
right?
Like is that. slash patches. The Dragon Priest stuff, which to me was basically Dragonfire Potion, and then by extension the other things that make that work.
Well, Draconid off operative, right? The 5/6 is crazy good. I would put that out to separate. Especially, do you know how often you get Draconid operative into Draconid operative? It's amazing.
Well, or you pull an extra one off of Netherspite Historian or whatever, and like a 5/6/5 is super hard to remove. And I don't know about you guys, but I'm seeing zero Sylvanas on ladder right now. So that's also a thing.
In Reno, yeah.
Yeah, I see it in Reno.
Yeah, and that's literally it, right? And then just Jade in general. I think the Jade mechanic is showing up a lot. It's super good in Shaman. Jade Shaman is it's not a meta-breaking deck, but it's very, very scary to play against. And some of the Jade stuff has made its way into aggro, and it's just crazy how good those cards can be. Did I miss anything? Is there any other cards that you guys think have really like determined why we're seeing what we're seeing right now?
I think that's a pretty decent list that I can see. The only thing I would change is definitely Small Time Buccaneer. Like, that card needs to just say Summon Patches. Like, it doesn't need anything else. Patches. That's what the card does.
But it's only good in... I was going to say it's only good in classes that have weapons, but all of the pirate playing classes have weapons. So, I think it's like the pirate tribe is really good and really consistent right now because it finally has something worth doing in the early game. Before that, really, like, you needed to have a weapon equipped to set up for Bloodsail Buccaneer, the 2-drop. You couldn't play until you had the weapon equipped, so you felt bad if you had to play for like a 2-3-on-2. The snowball of small time Buccaneer is crazy, and then patches is just gross. Like the free charge on turn one, the deck thinning, it's all the things that made Secret Paladin good and better somehow. The number of classes that are running like a couple of pirates just to pull patches. I saw a tech recommendation for a druid deck where they had teched in Bloodsail Corsair as weapon removal and patches.
Yep.
And they were literally running it as a way to answer weapon classes and pull your own patches. And that was it.
I've seen a couple warriors run it
too.
That's
disgusting. I can't believe that's an actual valid strategy, but it's that good.
Yeah. Well, the biggest thing with small time Buccaneer and patches, like, I never, like, before the set came out, like, I didn't even think patches would be as good as it is. But until I saw a turn two, I can't remember the name, Doomsayer. Until I see a turn two Doomsayer and you can just answer and kill it outright because as a warrior, because all you need is if you have the small time Buccaneer down and you have your fiery wind axe and you have patches, you can kill that Doomsayer next turn. So, like, even if you, like, coin out a Doomsayer on turn one, it's still going to end up dying. And you never used to be able to do that.
I crush Doomsayer all the time on turn two. All the time. Yeah. Like, a big thing,
and
I think that...
that's why patches is so good.
A big thing I don't think that we valued as well as we could have on this show when we were reviewing the whole pull patches out of your deck thing is the extra body on turn one and what that means for removal, right? Like, you can't, sure, you can use a Frostbolt to, you know, clear half of it. But even then, you're right. Turn one, small time Buccaneer. Turn two, coin into Jade Claw, or not Jade Claw, Spirit Claws and Flame Tongue Totem. GG. You're dead in.
I mean,
4 to 5 turns.
If there was any way, and I mean literally any way, to do that with a non-pirate tribe, that would have been like the default play in a ton of other classes. Like, you would do that in Hunter all the time just to get the extra body so that you could set up for better trades. You would do that in Druid because Druid could just keep getting their turn three lethals off of Savage Roars. Like, it's there's lots of stuff out there where just an extra body that early is gross. So,
I mean, it is the best opening that I believe we have seen in Hearthstone since beta, when Rogue had turn one coin into This Is Our Town Scrub. When This Is Our Town Scrub was a 2-3 and a 2-2 before they nerfed it.
Right. And this is in some ways better because the charge effect and the ability to coin out like an Azoth's First Mate or something, like, you get to dictate the trades. I'm pretty sure that you'd have to look at how it plays out, but on the balance, with no ability to use coin to set up something later in Rogue, I'm pretty sure small time Buccaneer patches coin Nazoth is actually better. Like, it would actually consistently win that matchup in the long run, and that's how good it is. It's actually almost unfair. It's bad enough that, like, there are paladins, and I mean not many of them, but there are paladins who have used Light's Justice just as a way to have an activator for small time Buccaneer in the early game, and that's not a good idea. Like, it's not a good play, but it's working for the people who are trying to make pirate paladin kind of a thing, and that's
working.
That's awful. Like, well, it's not working, obviously. Like, there are 5 paladin players and they all are just waiting until they have the cards to switch to shaman or whatever, but it's insane that it's so powerful that they need to have a 1-4 weapon just so that they can activate this stupid pirate minion.
For the record, I just want to say I think the strongest opener we've seen in Hearthstone is definitely pre-nerf Undertaker in Hunter, but that's just me.
Yeah, that's just me.
But this
about.
is This is the strongest opening that we've seen that won't get nerfed. It won't.
Right, because like it won't get Undertaker, nerfed. Like when even Undertaker, what? Like Undertaker coin Leper Gnome now would be hilarious because you would get a 2/2 and a 1/1 out of that. Like that's how bad it is by comparison because both of those cards got nerfed. Leper Gnome actually was a 1/1 in alpha, got buffed and got tuned back down, which is hilarious. But no, it's like, I think this is, you're right. This probably isn't going to get changed. I don't think there's anything about this that's unfair. Mm-hmm. It just asks a lot of questions that right now are very difficult to answer. So final note then, because we just finished talking about Paladin, Paladin and Hunter, just non-existent, like actually non-existent.
I still see some Anyfins here and there. Saw a couple on tournaments as well. It's not A tier or B tier, but it's probably top of C tier, as far as something, because you do have that Consecrate removal, which gets rid of most things. The Equality Pyro, Equality Consecrate. And then, of course, big finishers that do, 15, 20 damage, which is great against Reno. And so, there are... I wouldn't recommend playing it because it just... You're putting yourself in a lot of pain to say you're not playing Shaman, Warrior, or... Priest, basically Shaman, Warrior, Priest, or Warlock. But like if I were playing a deck, it would be some sort of Anyfin. You can have the follow the rules on turn three, can take care of a 7/7. Like you've got answers in there for some of those really pesky decks and cards in those decks, but still Paladin. Nah, Grimy Goons definitely isn't working right now. I had fun playing with it at the beginning of the season, like rank 15 to rank 12. I think I played it. I went like 5-2 or something, and it was fun to play. I love decks like that. It's really fun to like buff up your hand, then boom, this guy is way bigger. Have you guys seen that Taunt Warrior? Not a Taunt Warrior, not a Bolster Warrior. But the one that runs the 2/7 taunt, and every time it deals damage, you get
The Alley Armorsmiths.
And
yeah.
It runs like Don Honcho in it. And, like,
but that's like a modified control warrior more than a like taunt or Grimy Goons. Just,
it runs,
deck.
I think, 4 or 6 total taunt cards out of 30. So, like, there's.
Yeah.
It's got some there in the ideas, hopefully Don Honcho, and you've got this nice big 7/12 taunt dude and just, GG. But yeah, Paladin, I wouldn't run it. I would not run it right now.
Well, it just feels like they've gotten nothing for so long, right? Like Karazhan, they got Silver Moon Portal, which has never, I don't think, ever seen play because it's not good. I was super excited for small time recruits, and I tried really hard to make it work in like an aggro hand buffy paladin deck.
Yeah, I tried that too.
It's it's super fun to play and just can't it
lot
can't
of fun.
Possibly keep up. Like it's that's the fun. Problem. There's just so little about it that works. I've seen people say that there might be room for Dragon Paladin to be like quasi viable. Nightbane Templar. Still a very good card if you actually activate it. Dragon Consort sets up some scary good tempo. And there's ways to survive long enough to do that with things like Burn Bristle and cards like that. Like you theoretically could maybe make like a mid-rangey Dragon Paladin and have it, not be awful. But Paladin just hasn't gotten anything good in so long.
They have any
that
taunts,
it's like,
do they? Like you don't have any taunts. And right
it's,
now
it's literally it's that Wicker Flame guy on 3, and then you're waiting for Tyrion. Or you're playing neutrals, and there's nothing else.
So you have a couple legendary taunts, which Wicker Flame, that's like the 2/2 Divine Shield dude, right?
Yeah, that heals you every time he takes damage. And that card is awesome.
It's a great card. Awesome,
but it's just way too slow. Yep. Like, you put that down, and some shaman mana, just like...
Three.
But some shaman just blows through it with like... a Trog and a Feral Spirit Wolf, and they're still dealing damage to your face that you like. Yeah, you basically you put it down and all it does is stall your opponent from killing you with minions on the board and you heal for 4. It's basically a True Silver champion but not as good as removal. Like I have no idea.
Shy of buffing it up massively. Stave off aggression very well, and we're in a really aggressive meta. So
yeah,
I don't know.
I think Hunter will be in a good place if the meta slows down. Like, and that's the biggest thing is Hunter is just it just literally can't keep up right now. Like it can't defend against the aggro that's out there. It can't play well against Reno Lock or anything like that. So it's one of those things where if the meta slows down a little bit, I think Hunter, mid-range Hunter could be a very strong deck again. I just don't see it happening until possibly the next set.
Doesn't have a finisher that doesn't cost 9 mana. And if you're not if you're dead by turn 9, it's the same thing.
And that's where Hunter was really good before Mean Streets came out. Like, because it could at least stave off until you got to your Call of the Wilds and back-to-back. But when it got nerfed, Hunter took a hit right there anyway, because then you had to wait an extra turn to get it out. And I think Paladin is potentially in the same spot, where if the meta slows down, Paladin maybe could get better. I still don't see it doing that great in general, not like Hunter. But I feel like Hunter, Paladin, and Druid are all kind of in that same kind of spot where it needs the meta to slow down for those classes to really, really work well. And the meta slows down, I think Druid is going to be the biggest advantage out of all of them.
Yeah, Hunter is weird because there's so many things that look like they could have been so oppressive, like Rat Pack being hit by a Houndmaster or a hand buffing mechanic looks like it could have been massively, massively good. I think the problem is that there's not enough ways for you to take advantage of having tons of minions on the board. Like you need to get this huge board and then throw down like a Direwolf Alpha and a Timberwolf and a bunch of stuff to buff them so that you can trade efficiently. And it doesn't work. Like if Hunter had some kind of a Savage Roar-esque mechanic or something, then yeah, Hunter would be super good right now. But really, you're right. Hunter has no finishers. The minions that they've got in the last two sets don't trade well. They've gotten good cards. Like Call of the Wild, even on 9, is still a good play. It was obviously better on 8. Catrick is still really good, like a really good card. But Alley on Cat's the whole, like,
fine. Like it's a great one Alley Cat's drop. Great. It'll be great one of these days.
You just can't trade up enough, and you need to hit all these hand buff mechanics on the right minions in the right order. Like if you play Dispatch Kodo and you don't get the buff, you're basically playing like a it's literally what it's an old Keeper of the Grove.
I feel like if Zoo isn't able to trade up in this meta, there's no way Hunter is going to, at least until we get some new cards. Or until somebody
needs more power on the board, like full on, full stop. You cannot win because Hunter's power is all designed right now to come from you being able to play buffs onto an existing board of minions or synergy with your existing beasts being in play. If Hunter could get like one standalone card that wasn't like a powerful death rattle or needed a big hand buff, or needed a beast card in play to activate. Like if you could just get a card where it's like, I can put this down and it's always good. I mean, High Main is about as close as it gets. And High Main right now would in theory be really scary, except that it's on turn 6. And you've wasted so many turns trying to stay in the game using some combination of Eaglehorn bows and quick shots and stuff to survive long enough to put your High Main down while you've got 8 health left. Yeah, no, it's awful.
They just bypass you, like, cool, turn 6, I'm down. And then you're forced to trade into these little 2-3 minions and never actually get to do any real great damage with that 6-5 anyway.
Well, and look at some of the tech cards. Like, could you imagine trying to play a Desert Camel right now? There'd be a 1-drop in every deck that you would pull out. There was a time where Hunter worked really well with that
and you pulled it out. So
it would be patches.
if you pull out Small Time Buccaneer, would it pull out patches as well? It's play,
I don't think
right?
So. I think it's no.
Yeah, whenever no. It's play, even not still, summoned.
Like, I don't want to do that. It's not helpful.
Yep. Okay.
And I think it's no wonder too. Like two of the classes that we're seeing at the bottom are Grimy Goons. Like I just feel like out of the three classes, like Grimy Goons just kind of fell flat compared to the others. I mean, Hunter's at the top, but it's not because of Grimy Goons.
If the hand buff mechanic were a little bit better in terms of the trade values, like in my Dragon Warrior, I run Grimy Gadgeteer. It's the 4/3 for four, the warrior card, where it gives a minion in your hand +2/+2. And you kind of feel like you get okay value out of that. Because 4/3 for four should have been a three cost minion, but then you get a +2/+2 on your minion in hand, which is the equivalent of like Mark of the Wild, right? It's like a two mana-esque value. That works out okay. But like the majority of the hand buff cards are just costed in such a way that it's not actually accelerating you. And that's what you need. You need for the, if the hand buff mechanics were all +2/+2 and +3/+3, and you could say, okay, yeah, like I'm sacrificing early tempo for mid game tempo, then you'd be fine. But you're not getting mid game tempo. You're sacrificing early game board control for minions that come down basically on curve. And that's not enough. Like, you need more than that. Your value is too little because your opponent is dictating trade pace the whole game, and your fat minions come down and just die.
Yep.
Or you die.
We gotta call it. We gotta call it for the night. That was a lot of meta talk. We did get an email this week, and honestly, I think we kind of answered it throughout the show. Man, I forgot the name. Dang it. Dang it, dang it, dang it. I will get a
Josh. Josh.
Josh. Yes. Thank you. Josh, if you want us to go more in depth on your question, email me back and I'll find a way to squeeze it in. But we do have to get out of here because we got a little bit of a long end of our show. And, all right. Let us start by. Hold on. Boom. All right. I don't have it. I thought I had it. I don't. Never mind. So never mind. I can't do any of that cool stuff that I wanted to. Bummer. Anyways, let's go back. A really sad song. And it's just off my board. I don't know where it went. Anyways.
I know what you're thinking of.
Kev, we've got news, don't we?
Well, okay, before we do, so I can clarify, because it matters to the next segment here. Did we decide we were going to do next week's show on December 26th? Is that for sure?
Yes.
Works for me.
Okay, for me. So for those of you who've asked, because I know it came up in chat earlier, our next two shows fell on holidays. We're going to bump next week's show from Christmas Day to December 26th. We'll record on Boxing Day, so we'll be back here Monday night live. We'll stitch something together for you. We'll hang out. So December 26th, next Monday, will be my last show with WellMet.
That works.
Thanks, buddy. Thanks, buddy. I have a professional conflict, so I'm not going to be able to continue to do the show. I know John and JR have already put out a casting call to find someone equally or more talented to replace me, so don't worry. The show will go on.
New Kevin
will be better. But yeah, next week will be my last episode, so really looking forward to hopefully lots of people coming out and hanging out. Boxing Day being a holiday, I'm sure you've got family plans or you want to go snag a deal on a TV or whatever. But if you got some time, Monday night on the 26th, come hang out. I would love to have people come join us for my last show live. Stick around, play some games, ask some questions. I'll have lots of time to do stuff and enjoy everybody's company. It's been a blast. 90 episodes has been an incredible ride. I didn't know when we started how far we would get. And how far we've come is amazing. And you guys have been awesome to work with, John, JR. I'm really proud of us and what we've accomplished. So I'm looking forward to seeing the show continue to do great things for years to come.
Yes, it's definitely a big bummer. And I kind of blew it at the beginning of the show where I said it was kind of an end of an era thing, which is why we got this little guy commissioned. I don't know. I'll see what it takes to get it printed up. And if like our patrons be like, hey, I would really like to, you know, find a way to get a copy of that. Let me know. But it's been a blast for sure, and it's been a lot of fun. And I mean, when we look at it, like Kevin, you can't share too much about, you know, what's going on with you yet. But you know, even for us, right? Like JR's website partnered with Lenovo Gaming. I'm doing this full time now. Like, that's a year and a half. That's 90 episodes worth of stuff that we've been hanging out doing this thing, and it's not going to stop. It's the end of a chapter. It's the end of an era. Any last words for Kevin JR, and then I'll make the announcement.
Yeah. No, I've been working with Kevin for it was about 6 months after we started BlizzPro. Brought him on as a writer, so even well before we started this show, and he was doing the HearthPro show that preceded this podcast. And Kevin has just been amazing to work with. Like, I am seriously bummed that I can't have him around anymore to work on stuff with me. But I'm totally excited for what you're going to be doing.
Selfishly bummed.
Yeah. Selfishly bummed.
I feel the same way.
I'm excited as hell to see what you're going to be doing in the future. So
yeah.
And even though I'm bummed, I'm excited.
Yeah, for what it's worth, by the time we record next week, I expect it to be public knowledge. So on next week's show, you can come back and find out exactly what's going on. But yeah, come join us. Come hang out. That would be awesome. JR, or no, not JR, John, you have news.
We do have news. So we aren't going to skip a beat on this show. We are going to be a three-man show. So I'm very excited to say that Tannen Grace will be joining us as our third. Going forward, he's really excited. If you guys don't know Tannen Grace, he did PvP live casting for a long time. He's a Magic the Gathering pro, multi-legend Hearthstone player, really eloquent and really personable guy. So basically the opposite of Kevin. He's not even listening to me.
He's
reading all the nice things in chat. I get it.
New Kevin is better. It's fine. I know. It's
well, new Kevin, because new already have new Kevin in Sam Benson, right? Sam. I'll never get that right. But yeah, so Tannen will be joining, and we're really excited. We're probably gonna come out with a little short video or something for YouTube for you guys to get to know Tannen a little bit better as we go. So he's going to be a great addition. And while no one can replace the Kevin Hovdestad, we can damn well try. All right, let's get out of here. We do want to thank our friends of the show, Albert T, The Real Ben, and Coral. Thank you so much for your support of the show. We really hope that you enjoy it and that you're having fun. We've got some exciting things coming for the show coming up in 2017. I can't share anything quite yet, but it's gonna be pretty sweet to have. So stay tuned for that first and foremost. What do we have going on? I'm gonna skip around a little bit. Normally do new patrons, but the Patreon website was down earlier today, so I'm checking now to make sure that it's still up. So what do we have going on in iTunes land, JR?
Yeah, iTunes reviews this week. It looks like we had one from, I believe that's the same one we had last week, though.
It's a different, yeah. So it's
a different one.
Say thanks to him again anyway. Sometimes.
Oh, okay, I just wanted to make sure. No, so yeah, right. We have a 5-star iTunes review from Wibokonic, or however you want to pronounce it. I think last week I pronounced it Wibokonic or something like that. Anyway, thanks again for that 5-star review. If you'd like to leave a 5-star review on iTunes, it helps us out immensely. It helps the podcast get seen by new people and new listeners. Just head over to iTunes, type in Hearthstone. You can find Walmet that way if you filter by podcast.
Yeah. We do have one new patron this week, Kev. I'll let you take this one.
We sure do. So I guess we owe a big thank you to none other than new Kevin himself, Mr. Sam Benson, a.k.a. Bloodthorn. So welcome to the Well-Met family, Sam. It was good having you on the show. I'm glad you enjoyed our company so much you decided to become a part of it.
Yeah.
Anybody who's interested, obviously, we're continuing to, despite the partnership with Lenovo and everything else, a lot of what we're able to do, a lot of the community-minded stuff we want to do for the show, 100% supported by our patrons. So if you love what we're working on, you want to see us, you know, continue to do bonus episodes or throw tournaments or any of that cool stuff, patreon.com/wellmetpodcast. Check out all the cool rewards. and let us know if there's something that we could do that would make you interested, because we're always looking for new ways to engage our community and get you guys excited about the future of the show and all the people who are involved in it.
Yeah. Woo! All right. Man, we're only going to hear Kevin ramble through Patreon one more time after this. It's going to be weird. It's going to be weird. All right, well, let's go ahead and get out of here. Let's start out with shout outs. JR, you're up.
Yeah, I just wanted to give a shout out to a couple WallMet listeners. CPA 872653. There's a string of numbers there. And Jason Matheson. Those were the two who gave to the Extra Life charity this week. Awesome. So I wanted to give a special shout out to them for doing that. And also a special shout out to everybody that has been giving to that. If you would like to, you know, give to it and help get to that 750 mark so that I can do a post-stream show after Christmas, just go to extralife.blizzpro.com. I also wanted to give a big shout out to Kevin, even though I already sort of did, for also helping put together that Lenovo deal with me these last couple months or so. And a big shout out, of course, to Lenovo themselves and Intel for, you know, believing in BlizzPro and partnering with us. And I'm really hoping that here pretty soon we can do some really cool stuff with Lenovo to our with our listeners.
Yeah, it's a really exciting time for the podcast, for BlizzPro, for all of us. We've all got good, exciting things to talk about. So that's really exciting to have. Kev, shout outs for the week.
Well, I mean, I guess just big shout out this week to, well, okay, I got a couple. I did Christmas with my dad's family this week. So big shout out to everybody there. The support and the love this time of the year always means so much. A special shout out to my sister's boyfriend, Mike, who sent me a laptop because he knows I'm going to be needing one soon. So that was my Christmas gift. And that was over the top by a large margin.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I know. And just to all the WellMet listeners, I've met lots of people who listen to the show or who saw me cast after they listened to the show, or, you know, tuned into the show because of the casting or whatever. This whole thing has been such an incredible ride. I got to meet so many cool people, work with so many cool projects. Hearthstone's an amazing game. It has an amazing community, and we have our own super awesome, very personable, very friendly little slice of that just all to ourselves, where we hang out, we geek out, and I love it. And I'm not going to be going away. You're still going to see me hanging out and chat. I'm still going to be around. I'm just not going to be a host on the show anymore. So I hope that you guys feel just as strongly as I do about the group of Hearthstone fans that we've cultivated here. And I hope that we're all still hanging out and chatting and posting our silly deck lists for a long time.
Yep. Me too. Kev, I won't kick you from the Facebook group yet.
Yes.
I'll let you stay for now.
I gotta chip into the Patreon, I guess, right? That's the only way.
Nope. Yeah, for just $1 a month, you can be in our Facebook group now.
For Kevin's, it's $100 a month.
Yeah, for $100 a month.
If your name is Kevin.
All right, let's get out of here. As for me, shout outs for the week. Nothing too specific, of course. Big thank you to JR and Kevin. About to close the chapter on an era, right? A year and a half ago, I sent in my little 4-minute demo reel tape thing where JR's wasn't really even close to what I wanted, but we want to talk to you.
I remember saying that, but
we joked, you and I was saying, JR and I received your demo reel, and now I'd have to send one into you to get on your podcast.
It's come a long way. We definitely learned the wrong way. I don't think I've shared this on the show before. The first piece of feedback that I got on the show is that I can push the buttons, but I should not be on a podcast. So
I remember that.
Thank you.
How far we have come.
Canadian gentlemen, update your iTunes review. Just kidding. I'm joking. Whatever. Keep that 3-star baby right there. That's A-okay. I am streaming a lot of Hearthstone and Overwatch over at twitch.tv/kicktripod throughout the week. So if you want to come hang out, we have a lot of fun. We do a lot of cool, fun streams. It's getting around that Christmas time, so we might do some sort of Christmas stream. We'll see. I can't do a Christmas sweater stream because the studio gets way too hot. But we'll find something. It'll be like a Christmas Speedo stream or something. Who knows? All right, let's get out of here. Thanks for joining us for another episode of Well Met. Join us live every Sunday at 7 p.m. Pacific. Next week, we're going to do Monday, probably 7 p.m. Pacific as well at twitch.tv/blizzbro. And follow the show on Twitter at Well Met Podcast for additional news and updates. Well Met is supported by our fans. So if you love the show, you can find out how to become a part of the Well Met family at patreon.com/wellmetpodcast. You can also find Well Met apparel at store.blizzbro.com. We love seeing those Well Met t-shirts. We really do. Special thanks to Jake Butino for our music and Scythe Designs for our graphic design. And of course, again, a big thank you to Lenovo Gaming and Intel for their partnership in bringing you this episode of Well Met. That's going to do it for us. We're out of here. Thank you all again. We'll see you next week. Happy holidays.
Well Met is a production of BlizzPro.com. The show records live at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time at twitch.tv/BlizzPro. To get the latest news and information about the show, follow us on Twitter at Well Met Podcast or join us on our subreddit at reddit.com/r/WellMetPodcast. If you would like to support the show, you can find out how at patreon.com/WellMetPodcast.
Was my guac.